drastic change and big risk for a legendary American truck. From APM in New York, good morning and Merry Christmas. I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. An automaker is gambling with major changes to its biggest moneymaker. Bloomberg reports next month, Ford will unveil an F-150 pickup made of aluminum, not steel. Marketplace's David Gura reports on the tough challenges Ford faces in making this historic switch.
Building a truck out of aluminum won't be easy.
Attaching it, you can't just use normal welds like you do on steel.
Michelle Krebs is an auto analyst with Edmunds.com.
Aluminum has some issues around the noise that you hear, so you have to add deadening materials.
That means there'd have to be changes to the assembly line. Ford would do this because aluminum is a lot lighter, and that would make it easier to hit new fuel standards scheduled to take effect in 2016.
I think this is a threat for steelmakers.
That's metals analyst Andrew Lane with Morningstar.
Particularly those that are highly leveraged to the automotive market.
But steelmakers know they have the edge on price. Dave Sullivan is an analyst with Auto Pacific.
There's a significant cost difference between steel and aluminum.
Sullivan says that would affect Ford's profit margins on the F-Series, and steelmakers know any transition like this would take time. Ford makes hundreds of thousands of F-Series trucks every year, and these changes couldn't happen quickly. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
A look into the darker side of the numbers opens in theaters today. Martin Scorsese's The Wolf of Wall Street tells the story of a sleazy, drug-loving broker played by Leonardo DiCaprio. Wall Street greed fuels many Hollywood plot lines. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman checks in with some real Wall Street pros to get their take.
Move the money from your client's pocket into your pocket.
For people in high finance, the wolf will be yet another reminder that, in the popular culture, Wall Street equals corruption and excess. That's okay, says Max Wolf at ZT Wealth in Manhattan.
It jacks up people's sense of self-importance and influence.
Wolf says he'll see the movie, so will his friends. They'll say, oh, that was back in the 90s.
And then endlessly talk to each other about how unrealistic it is, and that will be part of a bonding exercise in the industry.
Simon Rosenfeld briefly sold stocks off a script early in his career, just like the unscrupulous boiler room brokers in The Wolf of Wall Street. He switched to commercial mortgages. 0% interesting to watch on the screen, he says.
They're not going to choose to make a movie out of the boring, daily, mundane activities of what goes on in the mostly legal world in this industry.
So he doesn't mind when Hollywood depicts a few colorful crooks plying their trade on Wall Street. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
I'm David Brancaccio. Marketplace is not some engulf and devour corporation. It is a nonprofit, and it is listener-supported. So to keep our coverage strong and relevant, what you could do is make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount will really help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by the end of this year.
College enrollment is dropping, which makes the already fierce competition for students even tougher. Some schools are trying to reel them in with eye-popping dorms. Marketplace education correspondent Amy Scott takes us inside a luxury dorm at the University of Kentucky.
Let's start with the Tempur-Pedic mattresses, those high-end memory foam jobs. Every bed in the University of Kentucky's Central Hall has one.
I think of my old mattress as sort of like a bad dream, and my new mattress is like fantasy dream.
That's Tolu Odukoya, a sophomore biology major at UK. Last year, he lived in one of the oldest dorms on campus, in a tiny room with bunk beds, bathroom down the hall. Now he's in a $25 million complex that opened in August. So is sophomore Noelle Conley.
So as you walk in to the right, you see our granite countertops with two sinks, one for each of the residents.
Conley shows off the hotel-like room she shares with a roommate. A partial wall separates the beds. Rather than trek down the hall to shower, they share a bathroom with the room next door.
That's really nice compared to community bathrooms that I lived in last year.
To be fair, granite countertops last longer. Tempur-Pedic is a local company and gave a big discount. The university is replacing dorms that are half a century old on average, and the amenities include classrooms and study space that are part of the dorm, all in competition for a more discerning consumer.
These days we seem to be bringing kids up to expect a lot of material plenty.
Jean Twenge is a psychologist and author of the book Generation Me. She says students could be in for some disappointment when they graduate,
when some of these students have all these luxuries and then they hit an entry-level job and they can't afford the enormous flat screen and the granite countertops, then that's going to be a rude awakening.
Some on campus also worry about the divide between students who can afford such luxuries and those who can't. The so-called premium dorms cost $1,000 more per semester. Freshman Josh Johnson, who lives in a traditional dorm, says it's good enough for him.
I wouldn't pay more to live in a luxury dorm. The dorm I'm in is perfectly fine, so.
In the near future, students won't have a choice. Eventually, the university plans to upgrade all of its residence halls. In Lexington, Kentucky, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
You can find us anytime until the end of time, even on Christmas, at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.